And certainly, I wanted to speak on love. And in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, we see that God, or the Lord Jesus Christ, speaks of love. In verse 34, "And when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" This morning, I want to preach on loving God with all your heart. And it's important when we consider love. And of course, the word love there is the word agape, which is a sacrificing love. First of all, I want us to see the command, particularly loving God. Now, of course, the great command there is thou shalt love thy neighbor, love thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and soul, and with thy mind. I believe in Mark it tells us, and with thy strength. And the scripture tells us here that we ought to love God. And this is a very interesting word, which means to sacrifice. It is a word which means to give God everything that we have. And we talk about the Great Commission. Well, someone has said this is the Great Commandment. And the Great Commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and great commandment. Now, this shows us that love has a priority and that we should love God first. And who should we love second? You see, right there in verse 39, the second is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, some people take this to be three commandments, which I don't think so. I think it's loving God, loving others, because we already love ourselves. And if we would love others like we already love ourselves, it would make an incredible difference. And so, the scripture tells us that this is joy. Someone has said, joy is Jesus, others you. And we ought to love God with all our heart. That means with all of our soul, all of our life, with all of our mind. We are to love God with all of our thinking. You know, so we have to be careful that our thinking is always right in the process of thinking. With all thy soul, with all your life, and with all your strength, all your energy. The scripture makes it very, very clear. So this is the command to love God. The second thing I want you to see this morning is the comparison to loving God. The comparison to loving God. Now, we said it's a priority, but look over to Matthew chapter 10. And in Matthew chapter 10, it tells us in verse 37. Now, notice what Jesus says here. So we can sometimes say, okay, we need to love God, we need to love others. But notice what Jesus says in Matthew 10, verse 37. He says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not," what? "Worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So not only are we to love God first and love others second, but the Bible makes it very clear that our love for God should be so much stronger than our love for our family, for those that are in our home. And so he makes it very, very clear that this should be the case. Now, Luke chapter 14, if you go over there, in Luke chapter 14, the scripture tells us really how much we should love our Lord more than our lives and our own family members. Luke chapter 14, notice verse 26. And it tells us here, if any man come to me, and notice these words, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, when we look at that, it's somewhat shocking, you know, and I've over the years have tried to explain this verse, but that we're to hate them. Now, we know that God does not contradict himself. He tells us, for instance, husbands, love your wives. Wives are to love their husbands. We're to love our children. We're to love and honor our parents. And this is true, but what could he be possibly saying here? Now, it's important that we understand that this love for God should be so high that every other relationship is like hate in comparison. Now, let me give you a biblical example of that, and I should have written this down, but this has to do with Jacob. In Genesis chapter, I found it. Genesis chapter 29. Now, it tells us in Genesis chapter 29, if you remember, Jacob marries two sisters. What are their names? Leah and Rachel. All right? So he marries these two women. He was tricked into marrying Leah because all along he wanted to marry Rachel. Well, the Bible tells us in verse 30 that he went in unto Rachel, and notice here it says he loved also Rachel, what's the next word? More than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. But verse 31, and when the Lord saw that Leah was... Now wait a minute, now verse 30 says he loved her, not as much as Rachel, but he loved her. But in verse 31, it was like hate in comparison. So the scripture, when Jesus tells us to hate, he's not telling us so much to hate our spouse or to hate our children or to hate our parents or our siblings. And he already tells us that we already love ourselves, but yet he tells us to hate ourselves. Now that's contrary to what psychology is saying today. But the point I'm trying to make here is that my love for God should be so great, so high, that every other relationship is like hate in comparison. Now, I love my wife. I love blueberry pie. But if somebody came in and said, okay, I'm going to kill your wife, or I'm going to take and eat your blueberry pie? Well, obviously, I would say, you know, have the blueberry pie. You thought I was going to say the other, didn't you? But I'd say have the blueberry pie. Why? Because, yeah, I love blueberry pie, but I don't love it as much as I love my wife. And I could honestly say that by way of comparison, my love for my wife is so much higher than my love for any food. So when God tells us, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, he says, make sure that is so high that every other relationship is like hate in comparison. Now, what's interesting about that is that when you love your spouse more than God, or you love your things more than God, two things are going to happen there. Number one, you're going to get out of fellowship with God. The Bible tells us that we are not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So, the Scripture is telling us here that our love our love for things or people or the world is going to interfere with my love relationship with God. So, when you, in your heart, see, this is a heart issue. Now, you would all come and I would say to you, how many of you love God? Raise your hand. You would probably all raise your hand. Unless you're trying to think, or you're thinking I'm going to trick you or something. But in your heart, do you love God so much that everything else is second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth place? And if not, the Bible says you have left your first love. Do you remember that? Let's look at that. I was going to preach on that tonight, but since I'm not going to be having a service tonight, let's look at it now. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Now, it tells us that the Lord Jesus, speaking to the church at Ephesus, says to the church at Ephesus in verse 2, I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and you have borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and have not fainted. Now, every one of us who are Christians would love to be on that list. I mean, do you labor for God? You ought to be involved in God's work. Whatever you're doing, you ought to be laboring for God. I forget which missionary it was, said that he cobbled shoes, but he was a servant of God first. He cobbled shoes to make a living. And if you are a soldier, or if you are a teacher or a mother or whatever, you know, you ought to do that as you serve God. So are you laboring? Can you honestly say, I hate evil? I hate evil. He said, this church did not bear them which are evil. There are people who say they're apostles and are not. And you know, folks, there's a lot of people saying they're Christians. They're not Christians. And these people were discerning and found them liars. These people had patience and didn't quit. But the problem with them was, verse 4, they had left their first love. So in other words, maybe instead of having that big distance between God first and everybody else in second relationship, either that gap starts closing in, or even worse, you commit idolatry. And so to turn from your first love at a break fellowship. The second problem that you have when you do that, when you put other things or other people or other situations before God, is you will be totally frustrated. You know why you're frustrated? Because you know what? Your spouse could never be God. You know, your job could never fulfill your every need. Money will never satisfy you ultimately like God will satisfy you. And so, when we consider the command to love God, and we consider the fact that by comparing every other relationship should be like hate in relationship to it, then we know that we better keep those priorities right. The third thing I want you to see is the proof of loving God. The proof of loving God. John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, and Jesus tells us how you can prove that you love God. Chapter 14, verse 15, if ye love me, what do? You keep his commandments. All right? Now, we know that if we do not obey God, let's not talk about loving God. Look with me at verse 21 of chapter 14. He that hath my commandments and does what? Keepeth them. He it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Look at chapter 15, verse 10. John chapter 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. You know, there was never a question at all in the life of Jesus that he loved God the Father. Everything the Father said, he did. And so, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love, he says, I want you to keep my commandments so that you can abide in my love. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now, he is telling us here that one of the great marks of being a person who loves God is that you will lay down your life for the person that you love. And if I have a choice in any given situation in my life, if that choice says, okay, I'm going to do what I want, or I'm going to do what God wants, and I do what I want, what have I just shown? My love for God wasn't strong enough to obey him because I obeyed me, is what I did. Which means I love myself very much. Or what if somebody who is a friend says, hey, why don't you come and do this wrong activity? And you say, I know that's wrong, but I don't want to lose my friend. So you're willing to sacrifice God in order to not lose your friend. You know, a lot of people sacrifice God instead of sacrificing their jobs. Some people sacrifice God instead of sacrificing their own goals, their own desires. And God tells us proof of loving God with all your heart is that you do what He says instead of what somebody else says, or what somebody, you do what He wants instead of what somebody else wants, including yourself. And when you do not love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, number one, fellowship with God is broken, which means you need to get right with God if you don't need to get saved. All right? So if you're saved, you need to get right with God. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Because your fellowship with God is broken. And you are going to live a totally frustrated life if you live a life that tries to find fulfillment in that person or those things. You know, think about the many spouses. They're expecting perfection out of their spouse. God is a God who is perfect. And only God can be perfect. But think about a spouse who says, you know, you should have known that. Well, they didn't know that because they're not God. But God knows all things, right? You know, sometimes God, we have to understand that He is always there. But a person cannot always be there. People cannot satisfy what God can satisfy. And so, the obedient Christian says, okay, of all the things that I could do in life, I need to make sure that I love God first. Now, we've looked at the command to love God. We've looked at the comparison to loving God. We looked at the proof to loving God. The fourth thing I want you to see is the illustration of loving God. The illustration of loving God. And I would like us to go over to the book of Genesis. Because you're going to see the very first time that word love is mentioned in your Bible. So the very first time that love is mentioned in your Bible is in the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Genesis, chapter 22. Now, in Genesis chapter 22, we're going to find that God is going to do something that really is kind of strange to us. God is going to tempt, verse 1 of Genesis 22, He's going to tempt Abraham. He's going to tempt Abraham. Now that is a puzzle to us because we say, well, how could God possibly tempt anybody? Because James chapter 1 tells us that God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. Now, what's interesting, verse 1, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And he said unto Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. So, what is going on here? Now, we have to understand what this is a test. All right? God is going to test Abraham's love. And we're told here, in testing that love, that he puts this to a test. Now, we have to understand the difference between how Satan tempts us and how God tests us. Now, Satan tempts us whenever he puts us to a test like that. He's trying to get us to do wrong. God, whenever he tests us, he is not in any way trying to do wrong. He wants us to come out victorious. Now, we know this, and I won't take the time to go there since I've already got you to Genesis. But in James chapter 1, it tells us, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the, do you know the next word? The trying or the testing of your faith worketh patience. And so later on, he talks about blessed is he that is tempted when he is tried. He shall receive the crown of life. But later on in verse 13, 14 of James chapter 1, he says, no man is tempted of God, neither tempteth he any man. So we understand that the devil himself tries to put us to a test to see if we'll mess up. But God, when he puts us to a test, he wants us to come out victorious. So when God was testing Abraham's love, look at verse 2. He said, take now thy son, thy only son, and whom thou lovest. That's the first time the word love is in your Bible. And the scripture tells us that naturally Abraham loved his son. Now we just heard a Sunday school lesson. I'm not sure where the ladies got in the study. But God made this Abraham and that he was going to be father of many nations. But we found out this morning, as we read our Bible, that there was a problem with that. Abraham had no children. And of course, we know, according to the Scripture, that Abraham tries to fulfill that promise of being the father of many nations, handmaid. But was that God's will? No. So God gave him a son. Brother Patrick, you told us that Abraham, when he got that promise in chapter 12, was how old? 75. How old was he when he had Isaac? He was 100 years old. Quarter of a century. Now think back 25 years in your life. And you say, wow, a lot's happened since then. But God finally gave Abraham a boy. And of course, giving him that son, the scripture tells us that he loved him. He knew that there was the promise that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And now God is testing his love. He's testing him to see if he really loves God more than anything else, even more than his own son. Now we saw the proof of loving God is what? It's obedience. And God said to him in verse 2, get thee into the land of Moriah, and to the offering him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. So is that obedience or not? Yeah, okay. So he understood that Abraham understood that God knows what he's doing. And he rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of the young men, And the scripture tells us that he took wood. Verse 4, then on what day? So from Beersheba to Jerusalem, it took 3 days to carry that wood, to bring his servant with him. And he finally gets to the place on Mount Moriah. And it tells us in verse 5, we see his faith. Now again, when we saw Abraham at the age of 75, what was that word you used, Joe, this morning? Wobbling faith? Wavering faith? Notice the faith of Abraham 25 years later. In verse 5, Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and notice these words, and come again to you. Now, Abraham didn't understand it. I'm sure it was a grief to think, God, am I hearing you right? And yet, the scripture tells us that he had faith. Now, when you go over to the book of Hebrews, you'll find in chapter 11, and you can write these verses down. Let me read them to you. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, so we know it's a test, offered up Isaac. And it says in verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 11, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. So Abraham realized, okay, I don't understand this. God knows what he's doing. And I love God more than anything else. I love my son. But if God wants me to do this, he must be planning on raising him from the dead. And so he says to his servants, we'll be back. Now verse 7. Of Genesis 22, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Now Abraham was the father of all nations, but he was also a prophet. And he tells us in verse 8, Abraham said, my son, God will provide a lamb for a burnt offering. And he knew that God was going to provide for him. And of course, ultimately, we talked about the first time love is mentioned in the Bible. Do you know what the first time the word love is mentioned in the New Testament? Let me tell them to you in each of the Gospels. In Matthew, God said at the baptism of John, Jesus, when he baptized Jesus, he said, this is my beloved, there's the word, son. Mark chapter 1, this is my beloved son. Luke chapter 3, this is my beloved son. God so loved his son. Now, the first time love is mentioned in the Gospel of John is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his own begotten, and we could say his own beloved son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What did John the Baptist say in John chapter 1:29 when he sees Jesus Christ? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John 1:29. So, Isaac, God will provide a lamb. So, we're told in verse 9, they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know. Now I want you to think about this. How could the omniscient God discover something? Because it tells us here, now I know that thou fearest God. Now, God puts us to a test. And when He puts us to a test, He knows what we know theoretically. He doesn't always know how we're going to choose. Now that gets into the sovereignty of God, the free will of man. Man is a moral agent. And because we know that God gives us the choice. And God is saying to Abraham, now I know, Abraham, that you not only know theoretically the Bible doctrine of loving God, but you know experientially to love God. And He tells us here in verse 12, I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. And so we're told that verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes. There was a ram in the thicket, and God did provide. That was offered. And Abraham called the name of that place, verse 14, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And the scripture is telling us that God put Abraham to the test. Now, here's my question to you. What kind of test has God put in your life? Has He tested you to see if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? See, what we have to understand is that there is no temptation taken you such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tested above that you are able. But will, with the temptation or the test, make a way to escape. So God will certainly give you a way to escape even if Satan tempts you. But in every test, God will give you a way to escape. So the real question is, okay, have you been obedient? Right? You say you love God? Are you willing to sacrifice popularity, promotion for God? So He puts you to a test and you say, man, I got this job opportunity and I can really move forward. I can really go ahead. And God says, okay, but what about the fact that it's going to get you out of church? What about the fact that it's going to demand so much of your time that you have no time for your children? So He puts you to a test. Now, you say, well, theoretically, I need to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, even more than any other situation. But when you get put into that situation, that's going to reveal if you pass the test. What about money? You know, are you willing to sacrifice money for God, or are you willing to sacrifice God in order to make a few bucks? You know, some people are willing, and again, this is not in any way to discredit the fact that we love our children, but you realize some people are willing to sacrifice God in order to please their children? They do it all the time. So they go to very weak churches because they don't want to lose their children. Or maybe it has to do with friends. You know, theoretically, I know I need to love God more than friendships. But what do you do when your friendship with somebody is being tested? And they say to you, why don't you go and do this or do that? And you know it's wrong, but you obey your friend over your God. So what you may know theoretically may not be true experientially. You know, our time. You know, many times we sacrifice God in order to have more time. Now, I'm giving you an evening off tonight. But think about it. Some people, they're so busy, they don't have time for God. And so, I don't have enough time to read my Bible. Really? Are you serious? Now, I can say that to our group here because you know that's true. To unsaved community, someone listening online, that may not seem so obvious. And what may be true, theoretically, may not be true experientially. See, God is going to put you through tests throughout your life. And He's going to say, what are you going to do now? So you choose yourself and your own pleasure over God? Well, that may be a choice you make, but let me just say, it's going to, number one, it's going to break your relationship with God, not your salvation, but you're going to break your fellowship with God, and it's going to frustrate you to no end, because God many times puts a void in our lives so big that only He can fill. It could be sports. When I was first saved, baseball was everything to me. And honestly, I thought, man, it'd be great to move up in the ranks. And so I was doing well. And I get a phone call from a guy who says, I want you to play for the American Legion League. Because a lot of scouts will come out and look at those who play in American Legion. I said, wow, that's great. Thank you. Yeah, I'd be interested in that. And I said, when do they play? Well, they play every Sunday. Now I'm 16 years of age. And I'm thinking to myself, you mean I got to miss church in order to do that? And by God's grace, I finally said to the fella, I can't do it. Probably a good thing. I'd never made it anyway. But The fact is, sometimes we have choices. And to say, I love God, and then experientially choose against Him, whether it be my own choices, or what somebody else does, or even my spouse, then when I do that, I'm betraying that I love Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, this is a challenge to all of us, because all of us struggle. We all are tested. And we have to make discerning choices. Sometimes it's not an either or. You know, we can love our children and love our God too, right? We can love our spouse and love our God too. I'm going to be putting a false dichotomy there. You know, it's either this or this. No, it's not always that. But sometimes we are tested, in the case of Abraham, like he was, to prove that he loved God. And every time we yield to temptation, you know what we have just said to God? I love whatever more than you. And may God help us. Now, let me just say, what a beautiful picture Abraham gives us of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten, and not only begotten, His beloved Son. So Jesus gave His life for us. He died for us. He shed His blood for us. And if we would, by faith, quit trusting in ourselves and trust in God, the Bible tells us, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I hope you have done that. I believe everyone here has told me you've done that. But if you're listening online, have you done that? And we need to be praying that people would come to the Savior, and that people would show that they love God. And as Christians, let's not leave our first love. It's so easy. And when we think of Valentine's Day, yes, you know, I love you this much. Jesus loved Himself so much, He died on the cross. But we have to understand that what God wants us to do is to love Him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, with all our soul. Now, Lord, we thank You so much for giving us another opportunity to be in Your house. I pray that You would work in a very definite and deliberate way. Help us, Lord, to put You first. And Lord, help us to resist the temptation to put other things and other people before You. And Lord, if there be somebody listening online that need to know the Savior, help them to be saved. Now, God, guide us, direct us, use us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together and let's sing a song. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. Let's sing this together. Sing together and...